Hello and welcome back to the One Goal US Soccer Podcast. We'll start how we always start. George, how are you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely great. Obviously, the roster drop, we were all looking forward to that. So in terms of US soccer, that was absolutely great. And I'm fired up. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. I'm a little tired myself. Stayed up late last night for the election stuff. And, you know, hopefully we can provide a little bit of pause for people who are stressed about that. Big time for this country, but also big time for US soccer. So I know there's two. We can kind of separate for the time being and enjoy what we have here. I think it's a very exciting roster, first and foremost. But why don't we just go right here and start this way? Tell me your initial thoughts on the roster.
I think it's a check mark all around. Obviously, we had a lot of guys we named, but 24-man roster. So roster spots were coming at a premium. Some guys got left out. But I think you can truly say everyone that was there deserved to be there. And the core right now, the whole core group, the guys, you know, we think are the core, Gio Reyna, Christian Pulisic, Ty Adams, Weston McKennie. It's their first camp all together. And obviously, Tyler Adams has a niggle. Christian Pulisic has a niggle. So we don't know if they'll actually play. We don't know if we'll finally see all these guys on the field together. But I think just the fact that all our best young guys in Europe are in one camp, which means even if we don't necessarily see them on the field, we'll see them interacting with each other in a U.S. jersey and U.S. training gear. I think once those pictures drop, U.S. soccer Twitter might explode. We need a full group pick, and hopefully they'll provide it for us.
Yeah, man, I'm so excited. I do want to add quickly on the Tyler Adams front. He did play Wednesday against PSG, so hopefully he will be fit enough to at least come in as a sub for either of those two games, which I think he's back from his injury, so we'll see. Pulisic, we're still waiting. But I guess the big news, and we have to address this off the top, Yunus Musa. So for those who don't know, which I assume everyone does at this point, but we'll explain anyways, Yunus Musa, big coup for U.S. soccer. Obviously, this is not a cap-tying event. This is a friendly, but Musa is a guy who's born in New York while his mom was on vacation, and he grew up with the English youth national teams, actually captained the English U18 team, and he looks to be a very serious prospect. He plays for Valencia, played out on the wing for them last weekend, scored for them at 17 years old, and was the youngest Englishman at the time to ever score in La Liga, and now he's also the youngest English American to ever score in La Liga. So I think, all things considered, this is a great coup. We don't know for sure, again, if this is his intentions going forward, but this is exciting. You know, we thought before, man, this is a pipe dream kind of guy, and now we have him in the camp. So I'm excited for that. And give me your quick thoughts on Yunus Musa.
I think it's a huge get for the U.S. to get Yunus Musa. That's one that we had mentioned before. I know you had done the article talking about dual nationals. We had mentioned him, but it was one of those, you know, kind of like with Filar and Balogun, where we're like, hey, he's American. If we could get him, we get him. Because I do think this is probably the least American dual national we've ever had. A lot of times it's, you know, servicemen who they've had one parent who was in the military, but they never grew up in the country. His only tie to America is that his mother was on vacation when she gave birth to him. I don't even know how that's possible. So I think his ties to the U.S. are very slim. Who knows? Maybe he just been loving watching American movies, American culture. He flexes around to all his English friends that, you know, he was born in America. So I don't know how deep his American roots go. I don't know how much he's been paying attention. But I think it's huge credit to Greg Berhalter. He said he'd been talking to him for the past year and a half. So that means when he was probably 15, 16 years old. So big shout out to Greg Berhalter for keeping an eye on him. And I'm just really excited. He's 17 years old. He's still young. Berhalter says he'll use him in the midfield. So I'm really excited to see what he's all about. And if he puts in good performances and we add him to that young core, it's incredible for us.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think this is where you go first, is credit to Greg Berhalter. And something I heard that was interesting in the press conference, he was talking about, you know, how this happened. And he said, you know, we've been tracking Yunus for over a year now, and he's someone we've had our eye on, and they've been trying for a long time. So I think it's kind of cool to not just say, oh, you know, we threw this invite and he said yes, but U.S. soccer was proactive and was able to, you know, do everything they could in their power to invite this guy to join our setup. And I think that also is a testament to kind of what we're building in U.S. soccer. And I think you can talk about Sergiño Dest, Gio Reyna, Christian Pulisic, Tyler Adams. Like, that's a pretty solid core. And I think that's something that, regardless of your attachment to the United States, if you're eligible for the United States and you look at your competition in England, that's legitimate. I'm not saying that he can't make that, but it's not as easy for him as a 17-year-old to just walk into the senior team in England. So I think the path to play right away is with the United States. So I'm encouraged by that. And I hope he's someone that can stay around because he's definitely probably the biggest dual national prospect we've had since Serginho Dest. And he's right there in terms of potential. So I'm definitely excited. But I want to quickly just run through the roster just so everyone knows it. We'll go goalkeepers first. Ethan Horvath, Chicho Oduzie. Is that pronounced correctly?
That was not close.
Go ahead for me.
Chituru Odonze.
Okay. Chituru Odonze. Thank you very much. Zach Steffen, the usual three. Chichiro, a little bit of a surprise, but I'll give you the credit of getting that one right. We talked about it earlier.
It's one of those ones where there's not really many other choices, and we have a bunch of young keepers in Europe. Maybe you said Colin Damian Las, CJ Dos Santos, there's Ethan Wadi at Chelsea, but I think Chituru Odonze, he's 6'7". He's a big guy. He's done well at Leicester. He's been getting reps with their U23s. So I think, you know, bring him in. And the thing about Chituru Odonze too, is just through social media, he seems like a guy who's very positive. He's always smiling. He's always interacting with his fellow teammates. So I think this opportunity is going to mean so much to him to get into the full camp, to work with Berhalter, to work with Zach Steffen. And I think it's something he'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. I'm happy for him, especially him. And I'll go through defenders also. We have John Brooks, Reggie Cannon, Serginho Dest, Matt Miazga, Tim Ream, Chris Richards, and Anthony Robinson. Is there anyone that jumps off the page for you? Maybe someone that didn't make it?
If you look in the back, maybe DeAndre Yedlin. Obviously, he hasn't been getting many games with Newcastle. And there are two established right backs in Serginho Dest and Reggie Cannon, who both are pretty much locks. And Anthony Robinson's the only true left back. So maybe you said, oh, we call in DeAndre Yedlin and have three right backs because we know Serginho Dest can play at left back. And so if you keep at the outside backs, then you also have Chris Gloucester. We said maybe he gets called in. So I'd say for the outside backs, those are the guys who, you know, maybe would have liked to be there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think something that Berhalter said in his presser was saying that, you know, DeAndre is still an important member of this team, but this roster as a whole is a really young roster. And I think for DeAndre, if he gets back in form and finds possibly a new club that can, you know, give him some playing time, I think he could work his way back into the national team picture. Greg Berhalter didn't close it off, so who are we to say? And I think that's just kind of the way it is right now. And I think, you know, eventually we could see him back in there, but it's a tough position now. So I think that's just kind of a representation of what it is. I will say for me, I was a little bit surprised to see that Eric Palmer Brown was left off, and Berhalter also, not to mention him again, but he's the coach, you know, it's fine. He did say that, you know, Eric Palmer Brown is performing very well. And I think this is just the reality of the position where you have a lot of guys who are competing at a high level. And sometimes you go for a Matt Miazga and sometimes you go for an Eric Palmer Brown. You know, it's just one of those things where these guys are pretty close. We've talked about how close that group is in the past. And I think it's one of those things where eventually Eric Palmer Brown is going to find his way into the national team. If he keeps playing and progresses above Austria, we'll see him there. So I'm not worried about him long term, but I'm disappointed for him because I thought he would be someone that would be there. But, you know, it is what it is. Is there anyone else for you, or can we move on to midfielders?
Yeah, I think it's the same way you talked about the young group. So maybe Berhalter wanted one veteran in there. That's why he threw in Tim Ream. When you look at the age scale, average age is 21, and then you have Tim Ream, who's well over 30. So I think Tim Ream definitely going to be brushing up on his, you know, lingo. Maybe he'll try and get in a couple of these Instagram pictures. So I'm excited to see if they do any content with that, too, because he is the clear elder statesman. Not just in the back line, but in everyone.
I think Tim Ream kind of represents where we are now. And he's someone that can pass the ball around in Berhalter's system. He's been there before. He's comfortable. He's not the sexiest name by any means. And I think, like, long term,
I think the name Tim Ream is very sexy.
Well, look, Tim, you're a good looking guy. We'll say that much. But look, you know, at the end of the day, like, he's probably a championship level defender who's pretty good. You know what I mean? He does what he can do. And he does it well, but he's not someone with a potential. He's not someone that has a high ceiling. Like, you know what you're going to get. And I think for what it is, that's fine. And if you need someone to come in and be the backup for John Brooks, he's probably the first one that can play a similar role. So I think that makes sense for the time being. And there's not much to say other than that. I'm happy for Chris Richards getting the call. I don't think anyone thought that was unexpected. Anthony Robinson as well. This is going to be his first real chance to lock down that left back spot. So I'm interested to see how that looks. And I guess we should move to the midfield, which is where it gets kind of fun. So we have Tyler Adams, of course, Johnny Cardoso, Richie Ledesma, Weston McKennie, Yunus Musah, and Owen Otosowie. So right off the bat, I mean, I think the most important thing here to notify everyone is about the age of everybody here. Like, this is a very young group. The oldest guy here is Weston McKennie, and he's only 22 years old. So I think it's a really cool group to see. Obviously, it's a little light. No Gia Reyna listed as a midfielder, but great group altogether, don't you think?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I think it's interesting to see Owen Otosowe in the midfield. He has played center back for Wolves as well. So I think it'll be interesting to see if he's listed as a midfielder, whether he's used as a six or as an eight, because Johnny Cardoso is a true number six, as is Tyler Adams. So it looks as though if he does get on the field, it will be as a more box-to-box eight, which is pretty interesting because he does have that center back pedigree. But he's a physical player. He has the legs to do it. He has the physicality to do it. So it's interesting to see how Berhalter, it looks like, is going to try and use him.
Yeah, no, I like Otosowe as just someone you kind of bring in and see what he has to offer, because he's gotten very close to that Wolves first team. He's been on the bench a number of times in the Premier League, so I like that especially. I think, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, do you call in Julian Green and you kind of know what you have, or do you want to try to see what you have in an Otosowe? And I think that's kind of the thought process for this entire camp. And I will also mention that he is a dual national as well. Obviously, he's been with us since his youth days, and I think that's great. But I think just keeping him in the setup and say, you know what, like, we care about you. And the same thing could be said for Richie Ledesma. And it's like these guys are on the precipice of like really breaking into their teams, with Ledesma having the assist over the weekend. Like, these guys are ready. And I think there's no better time than with the European camp to just say, you know what, we're going to send it. And I think Musa and those kind of players just calling them in and say, you know, if you are ready, show it and we'll give you that chance. So I think that's kind of my big takeaway from the midfield.
Yeah. And I think also, too, if you look at the midfield, the only non-dual nationals are Tyler Adams and Weston McKennie. So that also plays a part into it. Berhalter is identifying these guys and he's saying, we want you here. We offer something that these other teams might not offer. And that is a national team, full national team call up when you're 19 years old, when you're 18 years old, when you're 17 years old. And honestly, that's a premium where you want to get that experience.
Yeah. No, I will say this is a good opportunity for me to kind of rag on you a little bit for your boy Chris Durkin not making the cut. We won't go any deeper than that. I'm sorry. I know you feel bad about it. And I'm sure Chris eventually will work his way into the team, hopefully. But I also want to use this as an opportunity to talk about a mistake that I made. I thought Jens Kajus, again, I could be pronouncing it wrong, was going to make the cut. But it was announced that he actually would be joining Sweden for the upcoming Nations League qualifiers. So if he does play for them, he would be cap-tied. And that opportunity to represent the U.S. would be gone. But I think you look at the roster and you say, we have Johnny Cardoso as the backup six. If that's our biggest gripe, like, I think that's a pretty good complaint to have. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. This is part of the challenge now. When you have a talented group, you're going to have guys like a Julian Araujo, who could, like you said before, could play for Mexico, because the opportunity of starting for them is just that much higher, looking at a right back position. So I think Jesus is kind of in a similar situation. And it's unfortunate, of course, but, you know, what can you do?
It was brought up that, oh, we had been talking to him. He's eligible. We didn't think he was. It was like, oh, maybe, yeah, why not bring him in? But now he's gone to Sweden. There's a good chance he does get cap-tied. And I think it's just one of those things where it's okay. We're not necessarily losing sleep over it. It kind of reminds me of Jonathan Gonzalez. I won't go too deep in there because, you know, I don't want to go on a rant. But it's one of those where it's like, yeah, we lost him. Okay. Like, we have Brian Carrio, who didn't even get called up, who knows where he'll be in the year playing for Wolfsburg.
Yeah, no, sounds good. I'm with it. But I want to use this as an opportunity also to talk more about Yunus Musa. One thing I thought that was interesting in the press conference, again, that I'm mentioning, geez, that Berhalter said was, you know, Musa, he's played on the wing for Valencia. And I think what he said was, you know, I think of Musa as a more box-to-box player. And I think that's really interesting, because you look at Weston McKennie's skill set, and he's obviously the penciled-in starter for now at that box-to-box midfielder position. But he's not the cleanest guy when it comes to, you know, playing as an eight. Obviously, he's an energy spark. Obviously, he can offer stuff going forward. But I think in terms of depth at the position, you have a guy at Valencia who's, you know, a very clear attacking spark. Maybe they look to play dual eights with Musa and McKennie. And, you know, I'm not sure what that looks like. But I think having Musa as more of a box-to-box midfielder is really interesting. I think that just shows, like, we've been watching him for a while. You know, we know what he offers. We're not just popping in there when he's, oh, you just scored, bro, come on to the U.S. Like, no, we actually care about his development. And I'm just really excited to see what he has to offer.
Yeah, I think with him, he's another one of those players where he's so young, he's so dynamic. And I think just getting him the opportunity to play on a full national team, because he's played 7 games this season for Valencia. This is his first really season where he's, you know, with the first team. So I think it's exciting for him. He's just taking it all in. And if he comes to the national team camp, and I think one thing that's really going to play in the U.S.'s favor is how young the team is. Our average age is 21, which means that they're not necessarily his peers, but they're just older than him. You have Christian Pulisic, who's playing at Chelsea. You have Weston McKennie at Juventus. This isn't the old U.S. national team. He's not going to a camp with a bunch of random MLS guys who play for, you know, I love, I'm just going to say Columbus Crew because that's the first thing that came to my head. He's not going to a camp with guys who play for Columbus Crew, who he's never heard of. He's playing for guys who play for Bayern Munich, who play for RB Leipzig, Juventus, Chelsea, Barcelona. Like, these are proper guys. And if he's in that environment and they're talking to him, they're telling him how excited they are. They're telling him, bro, I love you. Add me to this group chat. Follow me on Instagram. Yo, let's take some pictures. He's going to absolutely love it. That's the environment that any young player wants to be, especially at the beginning of his career. So I think not just on the field, but off the field too, it's absolutely big, because once he feels a part of it, he's never going to want to leave.
It's one of those things where you look at it like 3 years ago, I could never imagine U.S. soccer even trying to court one of these guys, because why would some 17-year-old just come and play with a bunch of MLSers and Christian Pulisic? Like, this is a legitimate squad, and I think that's really what it comes down to. And you see the product that we're building, and again, like, the names on paper and the clubs they're attached to, like, it looks really fun, and it's hard to just look at that and say you're not just a little bit excited. And I want to credit again to Greg Berhalter, and I want to talk about this one little interesting note that you said in the press conference. He was talking about his assistant coach, Nico Esteves, who worked at Valencia. And I think that's a really interesting connection that we were able to use through U.S. soccer. And Esteves was actually an assistant coach for Berhalter in Columbus before he was in Valencia. And now he's with the U.S. national team. So I think that's a really cool thing to kind of have that connection. It just shows the depth that we're going to. And I'm very encouraged by that in all respects. But let's move to the forward position. I think this one is interesting in terms of characterization. Obviously, we have Gio Reyna, who's listed as a forward, but that we'll see how that goes. We can talk about that in a second. Conrad De La Fuente, Nicolas Giocchini, Christian Pulisic, Uli Lainez, and of course, Josh Sargent, Sebastian Soto, and Tim Weah. So what are your thoughts?
Well, obviously, some new faces. Sebastian Soto called up for the first time. Nicolas Giocchini called up for the first time. Uli Lainez with his first real camp with not just the MLS guys. I think another great thing is to see Tim Weah in there. He's had a tough time at Lille this season, not necessarily getting the game time that he wants. So I think, you know, getting him back with people who he loves to play with. I saw the post where, you know, he's like, let's get back to work, you know, with Josh Sargent. I think that'd be great for him, for his club career as well. You know, if he comes in, plays, maybe even scores a goal, that's going to give him the confidence to maybe go back to Lille training and go after it. And I think, once again, this is a very young group. Christian Pulisic is the elder statesman at 22 years old. So I think that's very interesting. And then also be cool to see where some of these guys play. Conor De La Fuente can play on the left or the right. Uli Lainez can play on the left or the right. Nicolas Giocchini can play all across the front. So it'll be very interesting to see where these guys set up for Greg Berhalter.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be interesting just to see like what formations we roll out. And I think like Gio Reyna, this is a forward. It's one of those things where we're going to have to wait and see what it looks like. I know Berhalter has talked in the past about, you know, he can play centrally, but the issue is defensively. When you play him centrally, you kind of leave yourself open on the back end. It's a lot of pressure on just Tyler Adams and Weston, especially if our two wingbacks are going to be like Anthony Robinson and Sergiño Dest. That's a lot of pressure on the defense at all times. So I think that's tough to figure out. We'll see what that looks like. But I'm encouraged by the names. I'm encouraged to see Sebastian Soto, who's openly flirted with Chile in the past, getting his first cap. So I think that kind of shuts the door for the time being. And it's good to see Pulisic. I know in the past we were worried about his injury, and we don't know what this is going to look like. I'm guessing the primary reason why he was brought in is probably to be like, hey, I'm the veteran guy, Eunice and these other guys. Like, I want to help you guys and be here as a voice and get some playing time if possible. But I wouldn't expect him to be a key player coming matches against Wales. And I would hope he doesn't play against Panama because, dude, they're dangerous. But that's neither here nor there. As it comes to the roster entirely, like, it's just very exciting. I think also something that's interesting is we talked about Aaron Johansson as someone that could maybe make the cut. And I think Berhalter talked about him and said, you know, he's someone that we looked at and we talked to him and I had a good conversation with him. And Aaron's doing very well. And it's one of those things where it's like sometimes you just want to go with the younger guys. And I think is when it comes down to, do you want to bring in Sebastian Soto, who's a dual national, or do you want to bring in Aaron Johansson? I think Aaron's someone that comes in maybe in the Gold Cup and makes a name for himself once again. But at this point, I have no gripes.
Yeah, I think, once again, this roster is skewing young. It's about getting guys in, young guys to maybe there's some dual nationals who we want to kind of skew one way, getting guys their confidence back, getting guys just the experience with full national team. And so sometimes those older players don't necessarily fit in with it. Aaron Johansson, Tyler Boyd maybe feels a little hard done by. Same with Julian Green. I think one player who probably should also feel hard done by is Emmanuel Sabi, who has kind of been knocking on the door of the national team for a long while now. While you have someone like Haji Wright, who kind of is just on a random blistering pace this season, Emmanuel Sabi has been kind of consistent. He earned a big move this summer. Yes, it was still in Denmark, but it was a move nonetheless. He proved himself that he could step up a level in terms of the team. So maybe he'll feel that he could have brought something to the team. But at the end of the day, when you look at the 24 guys who were called up, you really couldn't be much happier.
Yeah, no, I understand the Sabi gripe, but I think about it in terms of like the long-term vision. I think about, again, my favorite thing to talk about is the culture that's growing in U.S. soccer. And I think you look at the list and it's hard to argue that these guys in one way or another across the entire roster, whether it's the next camp or 2 years down the line, like these guys are going to be part of the core. You know, we're going to see how it evolves. And there's going to be guys from the MLS who come in here and push these guys out and we get a finalized actual roster. But I think what Berhalter's doing is kind of saying like, look, I think these guys are all valuable. I need to see how valuable they're going to be. So worst case scenario, we get them in here, we get this culture going, and these guys will be ready next time we call on them to be part of this squad. And I think a guy like Conor De La Fuente, who hasn't quite broken into the Barcelona team, like he's close, and it's going to be very tough to do that. But if he breaks in and shows well, and then you can bring him into the national team after already having this experience, the integration time will be way less because we just have less time with World Cup qualifiers and things like that coming up. So it makes that process all the more easier.
I really was hoping Jordan Morris was going to get his European move so he could be in this camp. I would love to see my guy Jordan with all these guys. But, you know, we'll wait. We'll wait soon enough.
Let's talk about that real quick. Obviously, the MLS guys not being called in. I thought that was really interesting. In the press conference, Berhalter said, you know, he chose not to call anybody in because, you know, there's the playoffs going in right now. And I think he said it was like a kind of a respect move to the league because the schedule coming up is going to be daunting. And he said, you know, I kind of hope we use this as we're doing them a favor. So in the future, when we need them to come in a little bit early for Nations League, that they'll be willing to do that, you know? So I think that's kind of the message. It's annoying a little bit. I would like to see some of those MLS guys, but I think the bigger picture here is we get a youth lineup. We get kind of the Football Manager dream lineup and we get to see what we have. So that's just really exciting, and I see no problem with doing that. But at the same time, you would like to see a full strength roster. But dude, like we have two games being played. We see a roster, and that's more than enough. Like I'm just so excited to see the new jerseys, see the new players, and dude, it's gonna be a fun time.
Exactly, it's all about patience. We'll get a full lineup soon. We'll get our core group in. You know, those games are gonna come, and when they come, like one thing we've been saying for the past couple episodes now is, we have so many camp opportunities where it might not necessarily be the full team. So that way, when the full team does come and we have a must-win game, we're going to know who the best 11 is. We should have a good idea of who the best 23 is. So those MLS guys will get their chance to show themselves. Because if you think about it, for the most part, they did get their chance this season. And in February 1st, I believe, was the Costa Rica game. Some of the guys who got called up now haven't played for the national team in a year and a half. So It's one of those things where everybody's going to get their shot, and at some point we're all going to bring it together, and when it does come together, we'll know who's ready.
Right. No, I completely agree. I want to do a little bit of the preview for the Wales game, because next time we'll be speaking on the podcast, at least we'll be after the game and doing kind of a recap. So what do we think the lineup will look like? I'm anticipating it's going to be the full strength guys. I'm thinking in the back it's going to be some combination of Anthony Robinson, John Brooks, I'm guessing Matt Miazga, maybe Chris Richards. And then after that, Sergiño Dest. Do you think that's probably how we line up in the back?
Yeah, I think for the back, I'd say John Brooks. And I'd like to think Sergiño Dest and Anthony Robinson are locks outside back. Who knows if Reggie Cannon comes in and Sergiño goes to the left or Robinson stays out there. And I think I'm really excited to see who starts alongside John Brooks. Does he throw Chris Richards into the deep end, or does he say, hey, let's calm down for Wales for a second. Let's play you against Panama. So who knows? So I'm really interested to see in the back. I think in the midfield, Tyler Adams is back. We'll see him with Weston McKennie. It seems as though Yunus Musah might get a shot with those two. Maybe Richie Ledesma, because he did say Gio Reyna will play in the attack. So I'll be interested to see some of those decisions that get made.
Yeah, no, the midfield is really where it gets interesting. Like you said, we're going to see what that looks like. I think I'm not sure what the true formation will be. I mean, Berhalter's in the past been a typical 4-3-3 guy. And I think, like, obviously we need that creative spark, but It's hard to argue with that dual eight thing because I think it just kind of makes sense in terms of defensively. Maybe you have guys like Reyna and Pulisic kind of pinch in and be that creative spark and playing up to a forward that can put the goals in. So hopefully Josh Sargent can do that, or whoever starts up top for that matter. But I'll be interested to see what it looks like. You know, it's going to be one of those things where we don't know until we really know. And I think we need that creative spark, but it's hard to just plug in Richie Ledesma and say, hey, I know you made your first debut. I know you had an assist. How about being the 10 for the national team against Wales? Like that, that's not super easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the thing too is when you say that creative spark, if you have Christian Pulisic coming in off the left and Gio Reyna coming off the right, those are two incredibly creative players where I don't think you necessarily need a 10 who's going to be all out. I think if you have those two guys on the wing, you're probably better served with a dual eight. That's where you can have a guy like Yunus Musa, who is necessarily a creative 10, but he is a dynamic player who can carry the ball at the feet. Because if you have Gio Reyna and Christian Pulisic, who are more go-at-guys type wingers, then you probably don't need a true number 10. But then if you have Tim Weah out there with Gio Reyna, for example, if Christian Pulisic can't play, then you probably do need a number 10 because Tim Weah isn't necessarily a creative type on the wing. He's more of a pinch in, go towards goal. So you do need probably a Richie Ledesma in there to try and create. So I'd say if it's Reyna and Pulisic, you probably start Yunus Musa. But if it's Pulisic is miraculously back and it's Pulisic and Reyna, then, oh yeah, if Pulisic is back, then it's Yunus Musa. And if Pulisic isn't back, then you probably need a Richie Ledesma or somebody else. Maybe Berhalter decides, I am going to play Gio Reyna at the 10. Then you do need a creative player in that attacking position.
Yeah, no, I agree with you saying there. I think it'll be interesting to see because you talk about like Reyna, Pulisic. I think what makes them also so dynamic and especially intriguing for this camp especially is you have Sergiño Dest, possibly Anthony Robinson on the overlap. Like that to me is super exciting. Just seeing those guys bomb forward in any capacity, playing crosses in. Dude, the attack looks pretty formidable, and we're really hoping that Josh Sargent, this could be a really big camp for him. I think this is one of those things where if he shows well, he probably locks down that starting spot going forward because, like we've talked in the past, Josie is kind of the incumbent guy, but he hasn't exactly been 100%. Giosi's artist, we know what we're going to get there, and obviously he offers some stuff, but in terms of a guy who could just lock it down, set it and forget it, Josh Sargent could be that guy, and I also think Giochini could really establish himself as someone that gets called in as part of that group. And maybe even Sebastian Soto. I don't know in terms of the level he's playing at. Is it going to just translate right away? But he's been banging in goals in his own right. So every position is a fun little battle and every group has somewhere to offer.
The one word is it's exciting. I literally yesterday I was playing my roommate in FIFA after obviously all the election coverage needed a break. So we said, let's play FIFA. I played the U.S. and I went to custom rosters. I customized the roster. I threw in all the young guys. I was playing with the new jerseys and I felt alive. I felt absolutely alive. And I said, wow, I can't wait to see this in real life where I'm not the one controlling it. So that all I can say, it's exciting. I'm like 10 out of 10 for the roster. Hopefully it's 10 out of 10 on the field.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. Like, I don't think I've ever been this excited about a roster. Like, honestly, like, just, I remember we were talking about Musa, and I was like, dude, I'm hearing some stuff that, you know, maybe we're trying. And then it kind of died down. And then I was like, man, I'm hearing some more stuff. And I turned my phone off for a couple hours getting some schoolwork. And then I look at Paul Torino reports, Yunus Musa joining the U.S. for this camp. But let's do this real quick. What's your prediction for the Wales match?
I think the prediction is I'm going to be very happy. I don't want to get into something. Scores. I'm not going to get into scores. I'm not going to get into goal scorers. But honestly, we could lose. We could lose. But if I see an average starting lineup of the age of 20 years old, I see Sergiño Dest running down one side, Anthony Robinson running. I see Tyler Adams and Weston McKennie together. I see Tyler Adams maybe with the captain's armband. Like, it doesn't matter. There's so many things that I can see, even with the loss, that will make me happy.
Yeah. No, I don't even think it's about the scoreline. You make a good point. I think it's about the process. And I think, like, it's definitely intriguing to be like, all right, we have all the guys. Let's go win the World Cup. But, again, it's a long road to 2022, even longer to 2026. And so I think it's about the process. And I think just, like, seeing a tangible product. Obviously, the challenge is not only is it new guys, but all of the players, having all of them, the earliest we'll get them all to be in the same place is 2 days before the game. So it's going to be really quick for Berhalter just to be like, oh, hey, guys, how's it going? I'm Greg. here's the tactics. Let's get going. So the turnaround is going to be very quick, and a lot of our guys are playing those Sunday and then Tuesday games or Wednesday games in Champions League. So I think rotation will be interesting, how he manages that, how he manages Pulisic, if he plays, and all those good stuff will be things we'll see. And I think, for me, I anticipate the win against Wales. It depends who they call in as well. Obviously, their manager's having his own troubles now. But we'll see. You know, I think they're an upstart team as well. They have plenty of players. Harry Wilson, Ethan Ampadu, Gareth Bale, guys like that. So, you know, Ben Wood.
Daniel James.
Yeah, of course, Daniel James. George is a big United fan, but, you know, that's just the way it is. We'll see what they have. We'll see what we have. And, dude, I'm just looking forward to it. I am getting ready to wash my U.S. soccer jerseys, and I think my plan is to wear one on Wednesday as, like, the precursor to the game, and then wear one on Thursday as well. So I'm excited. I'm really sad that we can't watch the game together. I know this would be something we'd be doing if we were together in Boston right now.
I'm sure that the texts are going to be flying back and forth, and no matter what. I've never seen anybody so exciting. And all I will say is that the way U.S. soccer Twitter exploded over Yunus Musa being announced, there are so many things that could happen in that game that I think could break it even more. If Musa scores, if Gio Reyna scores, if Gio Reyna assists Pulisic, if Pulisic, McKinney, and Adams combine, if Chris Rucker scores a header on his day, there's just so many things happen.
I just want to see the picture. You know the little picture they do right before the game start, and they have like the guys holding the little flag thing? I just want to see that.
That's a wallpaper right there.
Yeah, that's really done.
That's a Twitter header. That's done. Like 100%.
Done.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait to see the little videos of like the guys just joking around. Someone's going to get megged. Who's the guy that's going to get megged? That's the question. Who's the guy that gets megged in training? Who's the first guy we see on tape?
It's probably going to be Chris Richards, and he'll try and play it down. You know, obviously he's a defender, so, you know, someone's going to get a cheeky one on him.
Yeah. No, I think it could be Richards or Reams, one of those guys, and it's going to be funny to see, man. I'm just so excited. I'm looking forward to just all the news, all the press conferences, and, of course, seeing the U.S. men's national team play not one, but two games. So, can't wait. We're excited. I will add Real Madrid, Valencia this weekend. So, for our newly founded Yunus Musa fans, welcome to the bandwagon. Please join us on here. We've been here for a while. We know he's good. Valencia, Real Madrid. So watch that this weekend. I guess that'll be it. This has been the One Goal US Soccer podcast. Of course, you know, usually rate, review, and subscribe. I got to check the reviews. Maybe we have some new ones, but we're having a good time. We're looking forward to the game. We'll be back after the game on Thursday night with a recap and USA 100, Wales 0. You heard it here first. Anything else, George?
I say USA 101. Wales 0.
All right. There we have it. Everyone, again, please rate, review, and subscribe. All that good stuff. We're back, baby.